You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, good morning, everyone. Morning, Sean. Don't you love the band's enthusiasm? Well, we're going through this series called Get Ready, and it's this idea of how do we prepare ourselves to face various things. Like last week, Ashton talked about social justice, and this week, I'm talking about everyday struggles. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever heard the phrase, if you pray for patience, expect what? Like, opportunities to be patient, right? Okay, so it was... It's been maddening these past few weeks because ever since Chris and Ashton asked me to preach about daily struggles, and I've been researching and praying about this idea, guess what's been happening? God's been giving me opportunities to learn what it is to face everyday battles. And I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm asking for a pity party because honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I haven't had like anything horrible happen. If you've ever been around a persistent young child that might just constantly ask why or like just pokes over and over and over and over, that's what my day-to-day struggles has been like these past few weeks. Just things like last Sunday when it was still like 90 degrees, my air conditioner went out in my house and I thought, oh no. And I thought, well, you know what? I have this whole house fan. You know, those giant fans that before central air was more common and you put them in the window. Well, I put this whole house fan in the window and it was working fine for about an hour and a half and then the motor of that burned out. And and so I spent, two-thirds of this past week just trying to sleep at night when it's 90 degrees. And, you know, in the grand scheme of life, was that big of a deal? Not really, but I didn't really sleep that well, and that just further agitated and compounded a bunch of other things that were happening, and it was really frustrating. Now, if I were to do something awful, like pass the mic around and ask everybody to share a personal struggle, which I would not do, by the way, but if I did that, we would all have different things, right? We would all have different things that we would say, and some of them might seem trivial in the context of like, oh, well, you know, I'm worried about this, and then that person has that going on. Oh, my goodness. But today, I want to just talk about, it doesn't matter how big or how small your day-to-day struggles are. We're going to talk about what God has equipped us to do and how we are supposed to handle that. Now, one classic verse, when it feels like you're just up against the world, one classic verse to turn to is the armor of God, isn't it? Like, who here has read that armor of God verse before? So I'm going to read it for you here. It's out of the NLT, so it might sound a little different from what you're used to, but it's Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. And it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace... put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers and everywhere. And pray for me too, me being Paul. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan for the good news for Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, I don't know about you, but traditionally when I've read these verses and considered them, you like imagine actually suiting up with the armor, and this is early Iron Age level armor, so it'd be like, you know, Roman armor, that sort of thing. And it's this idea of you soloing the problems of the world. You know, you're going out there with God at your back and nothing can stand against you. Is that sort of kind of what you've heard in the past when you've heard that verse? But something that's important to consider is if you're a Bible nerd like me, you go through what's something called biblical theology. And that's where sometimes you might hone in on just one specific word in a verse. And you'll say, okay, what is the role of this word in the verse? What is the role of the verse in the chapter? What is the role of the chapter in the book? What is the role of the book in the whole Bible? And you start off small and you zoom all the way out and you consider the context. Well, the whole letter of Ephesians is entirely about the unity of the church. It's entirely about the importance of banding together and being a unified body in the world. And Paul didn't just take a random detour in chapter 6 where he would address us as individuals. And that's really important to understand. Now, I realize that in times of crises and prayer, this verse can speak to us as individuals. I'm not saying that it can never mean us, you know, as an individual. But more importantly, I believe that Paul is telling us that when we don this armor, it's important to realize that we are not alone. We are not alone in those problems. We are not alone in this world. We are not alone in the struggles that we might face day in and day out. And he concludes in this letter with a warning that Satan is actively struggling against God. All his energies are focused on shattering the unity of the church. The enemies will attempt to cripple the body and introduce dissension in the family and corrupt the holy temple. Against the enemy's attacks, God has equipped us with his own armor, and that is the armor of God. Now, I have, just a few moments ago, we kind of talked about the different kinds of problems that we might have in life and how it's quick to compare. Now, I'm going to ask you all a few things. How often, in the face of your problems, have you believed that you're alone? How often have you believed nobody else would understand? How often have you heard a little thought in your head saying, well, maybe I shouldn't really worry about this because there's other people that have much bigger problems. And you know, I don't want to share this prayer need because, well, I know so-and-so is dealing with this and my prayer need just seems silly now. How often have you had those sorts of thoughts arise in your mind? And the constant commonality between all of those is it is a temptation to turn away from and not share and grow closer to one another, isn't it? It's this idea that that maybe I'm not worthy of sharing my prayer requests with each other, that I'm alone and nobody will understand. And that is the exact opposite of what God wants to have happen in our lives. We need each other. We need to grow closer. And even though sometimes when we consider our problems compared to another's, it might seem trivial, but you know what it still can do? It is still there at work in your life, causing you to hesitate, and it's still there causing you to potentially doubt your faith, doubt your place in God's eyes. It's still a seed there at work in your life, isn't it? And it's important that even though relative, you know, like right now on the East Coast, there are millions of people displaced, aren't there? And we can sit here in this room and be like, well, you know, I can complain about my problems, but, you know, at least I still have my home. But you still walk away with that seed in your head that I'm alone, or I'm not worthy of being prayed for. I'm not able to connect with one another, and that is wrong. So, in the context of this, of the armor of God being about community, Just really briefly, the belt of truth means we need to put off falsehoods. When we talk to one another, we need to be just upfront and truthful with one another. There is really no place for lies among us, is there? Because if we begin lying to one another, then that introduces seeds of distrust and deceit. The breastplate of righteousness is there's kind of no room for a flaw. And that doesn't mean we need to all be perfect, because otherwise that's a serious issue, isn't it? None of us in this room are perfect. I love you all, but none of you are perfect. But that's part of the beauty of things. But we are called to continually just grow closer to God, aren't we? You know, day by day, we're supposed to turn back to God and bring him, lay our problems and lay our woes before him, and try to break the chains of those imperfections in our lives. And we're not here to judge one another, but we are, as a body, we're supposed to be working towards that state. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. More than once in this letter, Paul has stressed how the gospel brings peace and reconciling God to us. Has this ever happened to any of you, where you start venting and you just start like exploding, which is fine in front of friends, and then the friend will just be like, "Oh yeah, me too," and then the friend will just suddenly start venting back? And you end up just kind of venting to each other for like an hour, and you end up walking away probably more riled up than the conversation started, right? And it's important that we are able to vent to each other. I have my friends in my life that I can just vent and say all the things that I want to say. But the thing that my friends do, and that I'm grateful for, and it's the thing that we all need to do, is when somebody vents, at some point in the conversation, we need to begin pointing towards peace. We need to begin shifting that conversation of, okay, yeah, what we're dealing with, it stinks, and it might stink bad. But how do we begin shifting that conversation back to the peace of God? The shield of faith, we maintain a confident hope in the reality of the power of God, and this extinguishes doubt. We are inadequate in ourselves, but our trust in God is in a God that is able to do anything. Because there are issues in this world that are far bigger than us as an individual. And to begin to try to shoulder the responsibility of tackling those issues all by ourselves is absurd. And sometimes that belief can cause a lot of frustrations and insanities in our lives. But as we share those burdens with one another, you can look around and you as an individual may not be able to make a difference in a problem. But together as a community, backed by God, we can do a lot of exciting things. There is no problem that we can't tackle or at least support one another in, is there? We just need to find that place of unity. The helmet of salvation. Salvation has brought us new life, but keeping our identity in Christ's living church constantly before us, our perception has to be one of a transformed life. And that's where it's important that we trust in the people who maybe have been walking with God longer than ourselves. Because one image that kind of comes to mind when someone is saved and perhaps when they're baptized is, have any of you ever ridden on a train or maybe a subway, I guess? And when I was a teen, this is what kind of comes to my mind. I went out west to a ranch called Philmont, and I did some backpacking there for a couple of weeks. And we took the Amtrak out that way. And I'm in this train, and we went through the Plains states, which is awful, even on a train. You go through the plain states, and it's just, it never ends. You're like, did I see that same dead cow five times? You know, it just keeps going and going and going. And then we suddenly see these mountains, and you pass through the mountains, and when you see this light kind of at the end of the tunnel and you emerge, you're blinded, and as your eyes begin to refocus and readjust to what's on the other side, it's a whole nother, it feels like a whole nother world. I mean, it's amazing how in the ecology of continents, how a mountain range can say, this is the way of life one side of the mountains, and this is the way of life on another. And you pass through, and you're initially just blinded, and your eyes adjust, and you just take in this whole new surrounding. And when you enter into the kingdom, when you accept Christ into your heart, and when you're baptized, it's a similar thing, and it should be, where you had your own life behind you, and suddenly you're blinded by the beauty of God's love, and you adjust, and on the other side you find people who know the ropes, who have been around, who know their way. And being able to trust in that community to show you how to navigate that new world is a wonderful thing. And the Spirit's sword, and why does Paul explain here that the sword is the word of God? It's because in all of Ephesians, Paul has not discussed Scripture as he has in the other elements of the armor. It's the vital tool that we need to wage war. We need Scripture in our lives. We need the word of God feeding into us so that we can know how to face the world as individuals and as a community. I know that it sounds odd, but you know that 2,000-year-old book, well, 4,000-year-old book, 5,000-year-old book, just depending upon your your beliefs. But that ancient book still today will speak to you when you read it. And you'll realize that there is wisdom to be found in that people haven't changed. I mean, our culture has changed, our technology has changed, a lot of things have evolved, but when it comes to the struggles of the heart and the struggles of the mind, we are the same as people thousands of years ago. And that knowledge, that legacy, is there in Scripture waiting to be taken in. So I say all of this when talking about how to face the trials of the world and the day-to-day struggles, because when you're alone, it can feel overwhelming. When you're alone and something happens at your job, or it might be a relationship issue, it might be a financial issue, it might be a housing issue. I mean, there are thousands of different issues that can pop up in life. And there are so many times where it can just feel overwhelming. When you meet with people that are just in, situational depression, not chronic depression, but in situational depression, every single time they say, I'm alone. Whenever you might receive a letter from somebody who, or you might read a letter from somebody who took their own life, almost every single time, it's because they feel they're alone. You see, that isolationism, that loneliness, is just the total opposite of what God's plan is for our lives. And so, when we're when we talk about community here at Shelter, it's not just because, you know, we want, it's how do I say this? It's not because we just want to latch on to you as a number or anything like that. It's because we realize the power and the importance of relationship and being connected. That's why tomorrow night, women's life groups will be kicking off again for the fall here. So if you're a lady who hasn't checked out the women's life group, I highly recommend it. I've seen the importance or the change and the transformation that's happened in my wife's life through her participation in that. I know Johanna is starting up a group that is focused on people who have recently been baptized and recently taken steps of, okay, you know, I've made these decisions in my life. I feel new. I've experienced that life change, but now what? You know, and there's that now what that her group will help people explore. And there's a lot of other life groups and a lot of other teams that you can join here at Shelter. You know, I know if you help out in the kids area, for instance, you know, Becca just hosts Leadership Times Together. That's a commonality with like Open Table and Recovery. You know, if you're engaged in being active and serving in those areas, you know, there's that community element, isn't there? That element of you are not alone. We want a relationship with you. Now, this isn't necessarily a quick fix, is it? You know, I haven't really told you, okay, so something really frustrating happened this week. Well, what do you do? Because the thing about it is the real solution to that question takes time. It takes investment in getting to know other people, in being able to grow closer as a community centered on Christ over the period of time, so that when a situation happens, you already have that community, you already have that support, you already have those relationships and that assurance that you are not alone in this world. And so I guess when I think about how do you deal with day-to-day struggles, it's don't do it alone. This past week, you know, again, it was just little trivial stuff that just constantly was happening to me all week long. And it just reached a point where on Friday, when I was kind of thinking through what to share with you this morning, I couldn't think. I mean, I let it pile up in my head. And I don't know if any of you have ever had that sort of thing where you just feel so overwhelmed by the stuff that I couldn't even really think anymore. And so that's when I pulled out my phone and I pulled open the staff text thread and I just sent out a text to the staff and I just said, hey, these sorts of things are happening. I really need your prayer. And I noticed over the next day or so that that cloud was lifting. And it wasn't anything that I did, was it? I had to take the step to reach out to the community, but I firmly believe that it was the prayer of the other staff and just my persistence in seeking God in that situation that lifted that cloud. And, you know, I was a happier husband and a happier father then as well, because we're not fun when we're grumpy, are we? But that, having that text thread in our lives, having those phone numbers that we can dial, having that group that we can go to is so important when you'll have other people who'll say, yes, I'll pray for you, or yes, I'll just listen to you vent and then help you find truth in the situation and not just feed into it. That's how we face the day-to-day struggles in life. We can't do it alone. That's also, you know, sometimes when I'm up here and I pray at the end of announcements, and, you know, sometimes I almost feel like a broken record because I'll just say, Lord, just help me set aside all of the stuff from this past week. But that is such an important thing for us to do when we enter into a period of worship. And when we enter into this time of community, just setting aside the stuff so that we can hear more clearly. Now, there are some things we can do as individuals because the community here is made up by us, isn't it? You know, there's acts of what's called spiritual formation, and that's where you might read scripture, you worship, you pray, you serve, you act out of stewardship. You can have periods of just quiet. How many here have just times of quiet, where you leave your phone maybe in the other room or just turn it off, and you just find that quiet place, which I realize if you have kids might be harder than others, but having that quiet time where you just shut off the noise. Those acts of spiritual formation are important for our own health. And those are some of the things that we can do, but also turning to each other, growing closer to one another, you know, reaching out. You know, I hope that when you look around in the room that you don't see strangers, but you see your church, that you see people that you know are here for you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you just with this desire to grow closer to one another. And Father, as I'm praying, kind of just the idea of forgiveness is popping up in my head. And Father, I pray that if forgiveness is an issue for somebody in this room that is holding them back from being able to share and to seek that community and to trust, Father, I pray that they be able to sever that baggage from their life. Because Father, when a wrong has happened to us, there starts like a two-way relationship there, and it's important for us to just be able to cut that lie and we can give forgiveness. Because forgiveness doesn't mean being a doormat. It means not letting somebody or a situation have power in our lives. And Father, as we go day by day, may we know that here at Shelter Church, there's people who will love us and who do love us, who care for us, and that we do our best to do so in a way that's in your love, in your name. And Father, I pray that we just, that we be able to grow closer together so when the stuff happens in life, because it will happen, there's no avoiding it. But I pray, Lord, that when it does happen, that we're able to stand together as your body, lift one another up, encourage one another, and to love you in the center of it all. Be with us in these days, in your most holy and precious name, amen. All right. Have a blessed week, everyone.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.